This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Hey, good afternoon. Most of you that know me know I used to be a drill sergeant, so I expect something when I say good afternoon. All right. I was going to make you do some push-ups. Stan asked me quite a while ago to come and speak. And I knew I wanted to speak because it was something that God was doing in my life. But I've learned through my relationship with the Lord, you know, when I get up and speak, if I haven't learned it, what I'm speaking about, I'm about to go through it. And so when Stan asked me to speak, I was going through something, and I wanted to wait till I was at a point where I felt I learned enough to speak about it. And not that I'm all the way through it, but I'm learning that this is a lifetime journey that the Lord has me on. You know, it's not a little hill, it's a mountain that I'm climbing. And so I want to share with you from that. You know, many people know who I am, but very few people really know me. You know, I was taught in the neighborhood that I grew up in Washington, D.C., was you're not supposed to let people know you. Because if they know you, they can predict you. And if they can predict you, they can hurt you. But deep down, I wanted people to know me. But I was just afraid. You know, growing up, I always considered myself a good person. I just did bad stuff. You know, I was never allowed to live out or even show my heart because the neighborhood that I grew up in would have swallowed me whole because just this tender-hearted guy. So I created this image of me that how I wanted people to perceive me. And so what I was doing was slowly killing the real me. The tender-hearted me. I had to slowly kill them to protect him because I considered him weak and soft and he was going to get hurt. So I had to kill him and create a new me. You know, we all do stuff, and I did all kinds of crazy stuff to build my reputation as this person that just didn't care. This person that was tough, angry, and just callous. You know, I did this to keep people away from me. I did this to keep me safe. And I operated out of that capacity for a long time. You know, I just slowly killed this guy who I used to be. I remember one night, a friend of mine and I decided to go out and rob somebody, just anyone. And my friend was the lookout, as always, you know. And so I calloused myself up. And I saw this guy, and I pointed him out, and I told my friend, that's the one. And I went out to this guy. I pulled a gun on him. And I told him, give me your money. But something happened that I didn't expect. You know, usually when I had done that several times before, and usually I get this scared, fearful look back at me as they hand me their money. But this guy didn't give me that look. He looked at me like he felt sorry for me. He looked at me with compassion. He looked at me as if he was saying, son, you don't need to do this. I'll give you the money. You don't need to do this. I just wanted to run. Because he saw through me. He saw through the mask that I put on. He saw through this angry image. He saw through the callous Rodney. He saw that tender-hearted young man. So I've been on this journey to excavate that young man. To go back and just revive him. To go back and revive him. You know, it's just getting reacquainted It's almost like meeting a stranger. And those of you that know me, you know I like meeting people. So it's exciting to me as well. You know, nowadays when people ask me questions, I pause. You know, I pause and I know that they're thinking that there's this long pause, like I'm buffering or something. But I pause because I want to tell them the truth. You know, because oftentimes I don't know the truth. I know the truth that I created, but I really don't know how I truly feel in these different situations. And so I have to stop and think, is burgundy really your favorite color? You know, I really don't know, honestly. You know, it's what I wanted people to believe about me. And now I'm trying to find out, what do I really like? Who am I? So if you want to know me, ask me. Ask me about me. And I'll try my hardest to tell you the truth. A couple weeks ago, Stan came to me after, you know, a meeting. And he said, Rodney, I want your opinion about this because I know you'll tell me the truth. That's who I want to be. That's the guy I want to be. I went to the military at 17 years old, straight off the streets, joined the infantry, and just reenact that same violent, mean, angry lifestyle, but now I'm trained at it. I went to Germany, and I met a young lady, and it's my wife, and I found myself falling for her. And I remember one night, we're sitting on a playground, and she said, Rodney, tell me something about you that I don't know. And I told her, I think I've fallen in love. And it scared me to death. So for the next couple of days, I tried to avoid her. You know, I did. I tried to avoid her. And because she penetrated my fortress, you know, she crossed over the moat. And she was inside my bubble. And then I thought, I need to get rid of her. I need to get rid of her because, Rodney, how can you be so careless? So I need to dump her. But it was hard. Even that thought was hard because I really cared about her. And I didn't want to hurt her. So I devised a plan. I said, I'm going to make her dump me. I know how to make her dump me. I'm going to tell her the truth. I'm going to tell her the truth about me. I'm going to tell her how I view women. I'm going to tell her all of this. I'm going to tell her the truth about me. And then so I mustered up the courage, and I met with her. And I said, I got some stuff to tell you. And I started telling her about me. And she said, Rodney, that's not who you are. That's just stuff you've done. I know who you are. Just like when this guy saw through me, I wanted to run. I wanted to run. She scared me to death. I thought she was a spy, you know? I did. My wife's German. I was in Germany. I thought she was a spy. I was like, no. No one could love me after what I just told you. No one could love me after what I just told you. But she did. And she was the very first safe person in my life. And the next month, I had to undo some lies. You know, it was like, and I told so many lies, I didn't remember lies that I told her. And she was asking me stuff. I was like, where did you hear that? She's like, you. It was like, but it was like I had to undo some stuff. But I want people to know me. If you come into my office or you come into my house, you notice I don't have anything on my wall. I don't have any of my awards from the military. I don't have my degree. I don't have any plaques to talk about the stuff that I did. You know, and I had a really productive military career, and I have none of that on my wall. And, you know, people come into my office, and it's funny to me. One person said, Rodney, why don't you have your degree on your wall? Why don't you have this stuff on your wall? And I told her, I said, stop judging me. I said, that's just something I've done. I don't live there anymore. I've changed since. And, you know, to me, that it was a joke, but it's true. You know, because I've been arrested several times. I don't have that on my wall. You know, I've robbed people. I don't have anything on the wall. I had a DUI. That's not on my wall. I've hurt a lot of people. Their pictures aren't on my wall. So I'm not going to sit back and fake, like, look at me. Look at all this stuff. This is who I am. No, if fair is fair, I got to put all that other crap up there too. I want people to know me. I want people to know me. Not just the good stuff that I've done. I want them to know the crappy stuff that I've done and see if they still love me. And if they can still love me after that, then we're in. You know, our image of ourselves is really important, even when we pretend it's not. You know, we always project. We project the image that we want people to believe about us. And sometimes it could be negative or positive. You know, then we use fashion, music, and even the occupation that we choose to back that image up. You know, we want people to believe that we're thoughtful. We want people to believe that we're intelligent, that we're scary, sexy, spiritual, macho, hip, dangerous. How others view us is really important. Even when we say we don't care, we're projecting an image of someone that doesn't care, because that's what we want them to believe about us. And one thing I've noticed, people that's been damaged or hurt often project the image to keep people away from them, when intimacy is what they truly want and need. But they're afraid to risk being hurt again. You know, we often tell people, stop judging me, when truly we want them to judge us. But the conflict comes when the image that we're projecting is not the perception that they have of us. Then we have a conflict. If I'm trying to project that I'm scary and they think I'm happy, that's when we have a conflict. And that's when issues come about. You know, when I think about projection and projecting an image, I think of the Wizard of Oz. You know, that little guy was talking through that booming system saying, I am Oz, the great and powerful. And then Dorothy and her little dog snuck behind the curtain and they saw this little man controlling these mechanisms, creating this thing. And they saw him and he looked at him and said, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Oftentimes we do that. When people get too close to us, when they see us, we want to tell them, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain. Some years ago, I was closing the mission for the night, and I was the only one there. I was late. And I was locking the door, and there was this young man standing at the door. And I was getting ready to shut the door, and he had this look. I said, hey, what do you need? And I was getting ready to tell him, just come back tomorrow. He said, I need to talk to someone from the veterans program. I said, well, all of those guys are gone. And then it was something in his voice that paused me. And I turned around and I looked at him. I said, you need to talk to me. And so he followed me to my office. And we walking in my office and I saw him kind of spy my tag on my door, say executive director, wondering what the heck did this guy want to talk to me about. And so we sat down in my office and I went into my story, my combat experience. And because I knew this guy wanted to hear it and I knew that he needed to hear it. And we sat there and we talked and I started sharing my story. And you know, typically I don't share my whole story with people. I usually give them like the Reader's Digest version of my story. But I knew it was something in this young man's appearance that he needed to hear my whole story. Because he had a look on his face that I saw many times before in my mirror. You know, I have PTSD and I saw that on him. And we started to talk. And before I finished telling my story, both of us were sitting there weeping. And then he looked at me and said, hey, mister, you just told me my story. I said, I know. I said, because some years ago when I sat down with a combat veteran, he told me my story. And so he went right into his story. And I realized and I started to see the common bonds that we had in our story. And we started to just, both of us sitting there, just at a moment lost. Just realizing how broken we both were. And something happened. Is that when I shared my story with him, I saw I was bringing him healing. Because it made him realize that he wasn't the only one in the world that had this struggle. And I also realized that it brought healing to me. Because I realized I still had a lot more healing to do. You know, recalling these memories is just kind of scratched off an emotional scab that was only partially healed. And you know, and I thought of my combat experiences often, but it was something about telling it to this young man that night that just brought up so much emotion. You know, I've heard it said that we only can be loved to the extent that we're known. We only can be loved to the extent that we're known. And you know, there's many of you here tonight that are walking around in various stages of partial healing. Various stages of partial healing. You know, I'm always troubled when I hear people say that they can't talk about their past hurts, or they won't talk about them, or they just don't talk about them. You know, I want them to know if it's still too painful to talk about, you still have some healing that need to take place. You know, of course, we need to be safe with who we share with. You know, we don't just put our stuff out there. We need to find, and God's going to lead you to a person or a group that you need to share your story with. And when we bring it out of the dark and bring it into the light, it loses the power to wreak havoc in our present. There's many people that need to hear your story. You know, we can fool others, but we can't fool ourselves. You know, I've heard a story some years ago. It was a story about a man that was arraigned for murder in Los Angeles. The case against him looked pretty good, but his lawyer thought of an ingenious plot. In his summing up speech, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you must find my client not guilty of murder if there is the slightest doubt in your mind that he is the murderer. And now I have one final witness. The true murderer is about to walk through the door." All eyes swung towards the door, but no one came in. Then the lawyer continued, "You see, there is doubt in your mind about my client's guilt. Otherwise, you would not look towards the door." So the jury retired to deliberate and came back after an hour with a guilty plea, the guilty verdict. The lawyer was beside himself. Before the judge was to pass sentence, he sprung up and said, "But I prove beyond doubt that you had doubt about my client's guilt." Then a shrewd old man in the jury stood up and said, "As everyone looked towards the door, I watched your client's eyes. He didn't look towards the door because he knew no one was coming in. Why? Because he's guilty." We can fool others, but we can't fool ourselves. And we can't fool God. He knows you, accepts you, and loves you just the way you are. You only can be loved to the extent that you're known. God knows you inside and out, and he's crazy in love with you with all your crap. He's crazy in love with you. So who are you? Who are you? What is it in your past that's wreaking havoc in your present life? What lie are you telling or believing about yourself? It's so liberating to be yourself and accept it. So stop faking it. It's okay to admit that you don't have it all together. It's okay to admit that you're a little insecure. It's okay to admit that you get angry when you're standing in line at Walmart and you got one item and the guy in front of you got 1,000 and he looked back at you and said, oh, you only got one item? And you say, yeah, I only got one item, thinking he's going to let you in front of him, and he don't. It's okay. It's okay. No, there's someone else. Just sharing someone else's journey. It's okay to admit that you're afraid of intimacy because you've been hurt by relationships in the past. Stop faking it and let people know you and let them love you. Be on the journey. If God accepts you, so what? If others don't, they're outside of what God's plan is. Tell them that. Get real with yourself. That's where it starts. Tell yourself the truth. Who have God created you to be? Who does God say you are? So again, I ask, who are you? Let me share with you what God says about you. I want you to hear this. More than hear it, I want you to believe it. I want you to receive it. Let me tell you the truth about your identity. You are loved. You are accepted. You are a child of God. You are Jesus' friend. You are joint heirs with Jesus, sharing inheritance with him. Believe that. You are united with God in one spirit with him. You are a temple of God's Holy Spirit, and he lives in you. You are a member of Christ's body. You are a saint. You are redeemed and forgiven. You are complete in Jesus Christ. You are free from condemnation. You are a new creation because you are in Christ. You are chosen by God, holy and dearly loved. You are established, anointed, and sealed by God. You do not have a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind. You are God's co-worker. You are seated in heavenly places with Christ. You have direct access to God. You are chosen to bear fruit. You are one of God's living stones being built in Christ as a spiritual house. You have been given exceedingly great and precious promise by God, by which you share his nature. Believe it. In Amos 3:3, it said, how can two walk together unless they agree? How can two walk together? You know, when I read that, I just saw this image of me and God in this three-legged race. You know, we tied together. And if we're fighting each other, we're going to fall down, or I'm going to fall down. So we have to be in step. We have to be in agreement. You know, one of the things that I struggle with is that fine line of accepting what God says about me to be true and admitting and dealing with my own crap. You know, it's like this. I struggle with that. Say, okay, you know, I can sit here and say, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. But why don't I act like that if that's who I am? So I struggle with that. But this is what I've learned on my journey. That because I know what God says is about me is true, I'm able to admit my brokenness. Because of what he says is true. You see, when I struggle with the truth about my brokenness, I believe, really deep down, I'm not grasping what God's truth is. It's like this. In any relationship, I'm able to admit my brokenness, like to my wife, because I know she loved me. And it's the same thing. I'm able to admit my brokenness because of how much God loved me. And if God loved me, you need to catch up. Because God loves me. And I always believe that this is what we seek. And often we create this false images because we want people to love us. And we want people to accept us. because we feel they won't accept the real us. We can only be loved to the extent that we're known. It's so freeing to be accepted with all my broken stuff. Do you believe what God says about you? Do you believe it? Be on that journey of believing it. You have to get real and get out of your self-imposed bondage. You know, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking. No, you have to do that. I'm talking about what Jesus already did. You have to receive it. You know, God wants to do more. God wants to do more in your life. He wants to do more in my life. So I have to replace the lies that I've made up and that others told me with the truth, what God says about me. When people ask me, that's why I pause, because I want to be a man of the truth. And so I need to search me for the truth. So I ask you to be brave. Tell the truth. There's people around you, people close to you, that want to love you more. They want to know you more. They want to know the real you. Open up to them. And it's going to be scary, but liberating. You know, they want to know the real you. The unedited you. The unpolished you. The unrehearsed you. But first, you need to know you. So be on that journey. You know, I believe there's many here tonight that share a similar story like me. That you've been hiding behind an image. You've been hiding behind a projection. And you really want to be known. You want others to know you, but you're afraid. You're afraid. You want others to know the real you. But you're careful. You only can be loved to the extent that you're known. Take the plunge. Take that risk. And let others know you. It's a journey. And usually it's fed a little bit at a time. And so I believe tonight. You know, they say tomorrow's not promised. And when I was writing this morning, I had an image when I was in Normandy. I went to the military cemetery in Normandy. And there was this row of crosses. And the headstone said, known only to God. They were unknown soldiers. I thought, how sad if that was us on our tombstone, known only to God. There's people around you that want to know you. Start with the ones closest to you. Take the first step. You know, after the service, I'm going to stay around. And Stan, Don, and Michelle's here. Joe, Tony. There's a lot of you guys here. Use them. They're safe people. And they've been part of me being able to step out of the shadow into the light. Because I love the way Stan and Debbie and Michelle got up and shared their testimony. They didn't glamorize it. They didn't polish it up. They just told the truth. They just put it out there. This is who I am. And because they are that way, they're safe people to me. Because I know that they want the same thing I do. You want to be known and loved. Let someone know you tonight. Tomorrow may be too late. God bless.